Welcome to the Mycelium Network podcast, a podcast all about early stage web developers and the mentors and teachers that helped them along the way.
Hey, Adelson. Welcome to the Mycelium Network podcast. I'm so glad that you can join me.
Thank you so much. Thank you for the invitation.
It's totally my pleasure. So I know about you, again, like many of the guests that I've spoken to before, through contributions you've made to MDN that I've been involved with the review process or making sure the right people look at your pull requests. But I think in those days, you were still kind of job hunting. But I know since then, you've landed a really good job that you're very happy at. So to get us started, can you give us a rundown of your background? And I want you to take your time here, go back as far as you'd like, and bring us up to the current day.
Yeah, sure, no problem. So I was a mathematics teacher for high school, almost 9 years. And at the end of 2018, I decided to change career. And the reason of that was mainly because I wanted more flexibility about the place where I was able to work. I was really, really excited about that kind of project. I heard in the web about some jobs that could allow you that, and I really wanted it. Another one was about increasing my income, because unfortunately the job that I had didn't pay that much. So before I started a mathematics career, I was very good at programming and mathematics. And so I thought, like, okay, I shouldn't complicate myself that much. Let's go something related to programming. And at that time, the language that I was using the most was Python, mostly for scripts about processing data and that kind of stuff. So I didn't know anything about web development. I wanted to, but I didn't spend the time to learn about that. So I decided, okay, let's quit the job that I had and let's dedicate myself 1 year. At that time, I said to myself, like, 1 year. I think 1 year is going to be enough. And now I was wrong about that. So I started and check about what was the requirement. Check first about the options that we have about programming. How was the demand for jobs? I realized that web development was the one that had more opportunities. Also, didn't mention, but one of the requirements was about not, because I took into consideration the time that was going to take me, about not requiring any academic certification. And web development were like, okay, we only need you to have the skills. So, yep. I gathered like a kind of a small path, create a small path. Like, I need to learn HTML, CSS, and JavaScript. JavaScript, mostly programming. I had already the advantage of knowing programming, so that didn't take me that long. And the other two, well, there was plenty to learn for the other two. I spent, I think, the first 6 months with those three. Then check what was, again, check, went to the job hunting and check that, okay, those three are not enough. You need to most of the jobs are requiring frameworks. So let's go and learn frameworks. And it was like a deep hole of frameworks, like a lot of them. And I went with the most popular one at that time, which was React. And, well, there was the typing with TypeScript, and also there was the state management with Redux and some other tools with CSS. So I learned plenty. At the end of the year, it was 2018. At the end of 2018, I started to feel the pressure, like, okay, it's enough with learning. You really need to land a job. You cannot just continue doing that. And yeah, I started sending application at the end of that time. That's when I really found myself, like, this is the most difficult part. And it's a company or a team trusting someone that just is entering the industry that doesn't have any professional experience. And it was very difficult. I sent hundreds of applications, a lot of ghosting, no answer, nothing, no feedback. And that's difficult for you to improve yourself when you don't have any feedback. As you think what you're doing wrong. A good thing is that there are many groups out there, so you get to hear many stories like yours. You get to know what you did wrong, and just perseverance. Just keep applying, keep improving over what you have done before, improving your CV, your resume. And I think there was like three interviews before I landed the first job, fortunately. And in the three interviews, I was able to learn what I did wrong. I knew that even if you reach the last step of the interview process, because you are starting and you don't have a professional career, that's going to impact you. And if there is someone that doesn't have the skill that you have, but it has a professional experience, they are going to go with that one. So I thought to myself, like, what can you do to overcome that? And then I started with open source contributions. I started with Mozilla. There is plenty of repos, plenty of projects where you can contribute there. There's also a small anecdote about that. I can talk about that later on. And at the end, when I got the IO or Adblock Plus interviews, when I sent my application, they sent me back. And when I received the first answer, I was like, okay, I need to impress them in one way. I need to highlight myself. So what I did was fortunately, they offer all this information to the public. So I was able to find out what was the team that I was going to work on, what was the project that I was going to meant to work. And it was in GitLab, and it's still in GitLab with a mirror in GitHub. And I started to check, like, okay, I have 1 week. I need to learn the basics of that, to go through the code base, get a little bit of an overview. Then after the week, I got the first assessment. And while I was doing the assignment, that was quite short. I think it took me 3 hours, 4 hours the most. It's a small web page that I needed to do. And I also, in parallel, I was already trying to make a contribution. It was like a goal for me. Like, before I get a technical interview, I need to make a contribution to them, like a merge request or pull request. And I need to have it landed. I was able to push to finish the merge request. And it wasn't approved at that time because there was another priorities, but at least they were able to see it. They were able to see my skills. Yeah. And then it was like, okay, I'm going to have the merge request, the interview. I need for another one. I mean, I shouldn't stop here. I don't have any, I couldn't leave anything I could be more than prepared for all this. So I ended up making two more merge requests, and the interview also, when they asked me about some stuff, I also made reference to the merge request, like, okay, I did this and I did that. I didn't limit myself to only have this bug finish. I also tried to consider different scenarios, different cases for the user, and that helped. Now that I'm working with them and I'm part of the team, and I have seen also other process of the hiring, I know that it was very difficult to trust someone that was just starting and was changing career, and it was like 1 year and a half. So it was a difficult decision, and I understand other companies that also don't trust that much them. I don't think it's ideal, but I understand the reasons. And yeah, at the end, through all the process, they gave me an opportunity. And after 3 years already, I just completed 3 years. I'm still working with them. Very happy. They were all the time very supportive. They understood that I was just starting, very patient. And that's more of it.
That's great. There's a lot of gems and some really good information and guidance in there. Kudos on how you've approached this whole process. I think it was very, very mature and very well thought through. I think a lot of people can learn a lot from that. I was going to ask the question about the interview process. probably later on, but seeing that you've touched on this already, maybe we can dig into it a little bit now. I think you've made some really good points. I've previously spoken with somebody called Ian Douglas. He's like a career coach, and he also gave a lot of good information about what are recruiters looking for. And I think it's very important to understand that, because if you understand that, you can tailor the way you approach applying for jobs better. Because even though you did mention that you sent out a lot of resumes to a lot of different companies, I think that is one way of doing it. But the other way of doing it is trying to find, let me stay back a little bit. So there's a lot of opportunity right now in the software industry, whether that be web development or machine learning or AI or any of these things, blockchain. There's a lot of demand and there's a shortage of skills. So it's kind of a really good time to get into this industry if it's something you're interested in. I think that's something to be highlighted. Don't just get into tech because you think it's going to be some utopia that you're entering. I think you need to have a true interest in the love for problem solving and struggling and writing code and trying to fix problems, failing, trying again, failing, trying again. But then when it comes down to applying, I think you can be a little picky now. You can kind of look for companies that interest you, the work they do, the culture they have, that kind of thing. And then really tailor your resume to the company. And I think all that research you did about who is Adblock and what do they do? And oh, here's their code. Oh, wow, it's open source. I can actually contribute to this. And actually contributing to work that they're doing, I think that was a brilliant move on your part. So I think that was the good experience that you had at the tail end. But is there some things earlier on that you found? I think you mentioned some of this where you felt ghosted sometimes and you didn't get feedback from the recruiters about why you weren't even given an interview or something like that. Is there anything, any other things you'd like to bring up that you found during the interview process that you felt was not ideal or even completely broken? And do you have like any ideas about how recruiters and companies can improve that?
Yeah. So before we reach that question, I wanted to make a comment about what you just mentioned about tailoring the... But you are partially right about tailoring the interaction with the company that you are interviewing with. What I'm not that in favor, and it's because we are not considering completely the experience that a early stage developer has. It's about tailoring the resume, because I have heard also multiple times, like, hey, you should send a specific resume to every one of the companies, just remove everything that is not meant for the company, just focus on that one. The problem is that, if the people that have gone through standard academic learning stuff, universities or this kind of engineer schools, or the ones that have finished like a bootcamp, that kind of thing, they have very little to add in their resume. Most of them is like small projects that everyone did, and they try to add it like that in the resume. I also did that, and so there is not much to remove from the resume, unfortunately. And yeah, the companies are going just to ignore it because it's the same everywhere. If you focus on what the company wants, it's very little what they can get from them. That's also something that I noticed, that when I started, they were like, hey, I have this skill, I can do this and I can do that. But I wasn't in the mindset like what the company wants from me. What can I do for the company? And I have noticed that mindset in many people that are finishing their careers, that they are like, hey, I'm good at this and I'm good at that. But they don't go and say, I can help you team with this. I can do this for this. I have noticed that this company does this. I can do this for you. And we need to change that. It's not mentioned that much out there, unfortunately, but that's something that recruiters really appreciate. Things that I learned about, well, there are bad and good things. One, for example, there's a lot of stuff. There's one that there is a lot of opportunities out there that are coming out, popping up, But they are specific to certain groups, which is very nice. But you cannot cover all the groups. In my case, I was established in Mexico and didn't have that many opportunities, especially for remote jobs. I was trying to target European or USA market. It was just very difficult, almost impossible. And there was some initiatives. I think one of them was, there was one that approached for Mozilla, and it's quite popular. I think you mentioned in one of the podcasts for outreach, that one. Yeah. So I got to hear about that and I applied to that one. And unfortunately I got rejected, but that didn't stop me. I was like, okay, all this is the nice thing about working in the open. I was like, they publish everything, all the candidates which companies were accepting them. They were like, okay, and even more, which team was going to work with these people that were selected. So I was like, okay, what I can get from this is that these teams and these companies are open to help out early career developers to grow. So I target Mozilla and I noticed like, okay, this team, which was a very internal tools team, I did some contribution, I think over 12 contributions there. I forgot already the name of the repo. So they accepted one person in outreach. And I was like, okay, I went to the repo, I checked, and the person was already helping out in the process. I mean, this person had access to all the internal communication. I didn't. It was only the GitHub. But I started also, along with this person, even if I wasn't going to receive the compensation, the support, I was like, I'm going through the experience at least. And I started with the person at the same time. And we were like contributing, both of us were contributing, following the process. The difference is that the other person was internal communication and compensation. But then it was super nice because one of the administrators of the repo sent me an invitation for, at that time, IRC. I don't remember which server, but IRC channel, and I was able to store the local chat and the chatting locally, like keep it persistent. So I was able to communicate with them, and I got to learn a lot. It was a React project, if I remember correctly, and I was with them, I think, 3 months, something like that, the full experience, and all that stuff. I ended up adding it to the resume. I was in outreach. I didn't mention any of outreach stuff, but the contribution I was able to. So that's one of the things that I try to recommend to the people out there, is that yes, compensations are important, but even if you are not able, if you are not selected, you need to make the most out of it and try to take the opportunity, at least learning for other people that are out there, and do this kind of research. So that's one of the things that I did. Good things that the people that interviews check, and it's self-learning. They have initiative. Depending on the company, I was lucky with the open source. If you mention this, because the recruiters are going like give a fast overview. So if you have made contributions to open source, be clear to put those ones at the top. And mention the big companies like Mozilla, mention it there. Even if you did like a small contribution, you can talk later on about that with them. Yeah. Make it short. Some people make like 3 pages of resume. They don't have time, recruiters, to check all of that. So make it short, 1 page, very, very small. All this kind of stuff, for example, if details like the URLs, and if you can just add the link into the PDF, that would be nice, instead of putting the full stuff. Team skills, soft skills, they look for that. Don't try to present yourself like a very smart person. Be humble. There is always someone that has more knowledge out there than you. A lot of people have more knowledge than you. And I think that me as a starter, when I started the job, I think that was the skill that they appreciate the most. And it was like, I really wanted to learn. I was like, hey, because they emphasize on that. Like, what do you think? Like, sure. Do you know how much do you know? And I was like, I know better than little. I know all of, see all of you, and you have a lot of knowledge, and I will be very happy to get a little bit of that knowledge to help out the team. So it's all about the team. It's not about you. It's about the team, making the team better. You become better and the team ends up becoming better also. So, yeah.
Yeah, no, I agree. I think it is important to talk about what value would you add to the team as an individual, not so much just what you can do technically, but the soft skills. I think that's very important. And I think that's one of the things that you get from open source is you get to show that you're able to work in a team. You're able to follow guidance. You're able to take feedback constructively. You know, you don't like rage quit and like close the pull request kind of thing. If somebody disagreed with something that you said. And I think sometimes also what shows a lot of your character is if maybe you opened a pull request and the people from the repository or the project came back and they said, you know what, this is not really something we want to do at this point. So unfortunately, we're going to close this pull request, but thanks so much. And there are some other ways, other things you can contribute on, and they point you towards it. And people can see that you actually went and took something else and took that, opened that one, and got that merged. I think that shows a lot of character, that you're able to take feedback, not take it personally, and then move on and take the guidance and find the things that the company actually or the project actually feels is useful contributions or valuable contributions, I should say. And that you are able to do that, that you're not just saying, oh, no, this is a bad experience. I feel like, oh, I can't deal with this and I'm going to move on. Because part of work is getting feedback. All or most companies these days work through some kind of pull request flow. So you are going to be, your code is going to be reviewed by peers. And there are going to be people who have more knowledge on a specific topic than you and might be able to help you by telling you, oh, you know what, there's a better way to do this. Or, wow, this component is getting really big. I think you should split it up into three separate components, let each just do one thing really well. And I think being able to take that kind of guidance and acknowledge it and not just give up because people give them just saying, yeah, this is perfect and merge the pull request. I think that shows a lot. So going through that process, I think is important. So I'm wondering, like you have a lot of enthusiasm and you have a lot of, what is the word I'm looking for? You don't give up easily. I think that is something that I've learned about you in this short while that we've been talking so far. And I think that's also important. Don't give up. Like if this is really something you want, you have to keep going. You have to like roll with the punches, as they say. Like sometimes things aren't going to quite go your way, but see what you can take from the experience and learn to use somewhere else. Maybe this wasn't the right company or the right like outreach. Maybe that wasn't the right vehicle for you. Maybe you need to find something else. I think it is hard, right? It is hard. I mean, it's human nature that if you keep putting yourself out there and you feel like you keep getting rejected, you do lose motivation. You do start to think, is it me? Maybe it's not the industry. It's not the company. It's not the project. It's me. It's something wrong with me. So I wonder, what do you do? Is there some like, I don't know, resources, books, people, anything like that, that gives you this, that makes you able to be so persistent and to be so resilient?
Well, about the resilience per se, it's, difficult to give an advice on that. It's just simple to say, like, don't give up. I felt a little bit down when I was rejected. Well, not a little bit, but a lot. But you get used to it. I mean, you just keep trying. And then it's like normal. Obviously, you need to learn from that. But try to improve yourself. I think what made me, I didn't have like this kind of network. Still many people were recommending like, hey, make a network in the social places and you will get a lot of people out there and you will end up landing a job. I'm not good at that, unfortunately. What I found out was that it was very, very nice to have these communities of people. There's a lot of people from different countries that are trying to do exactly the same, that they see the opportunity. There's a lot of benefits from that. And and they really want to just get the first job. And that's what helped me out to keep going. There is a place that later on I can recommend already, but there are multiple places like that. I mean, you have the network that you started, I think, this year, the Miscellaneum Network. That's very nice. There is another one that at that time I got to know, and it has plenty of followers, Chingu, the Chingu project. And the same, the nice thing about that place is that they simulate like kind of teamwork with, like kind of an agile thingish. And that helps out. Like, you need to establish like your goals, what you want to finish. You have a team of a designer, developer, project manager, all that kind of stuff. And it's for free. All that is for free. Everything I learned from free. Didn't have that much money. So I was like, I cannot afford using investing at the time. And I just sent for the rest. There's a lot of free resources. That's a nice thing. So I think the support from the people that was helped the most, talking to each other, like, hey, I had this interview, didn't go that well. But let's keep going. And complaining each other, like, hey, why are they not giving opportunity to people like us? And then the companies are saying that there is not enough developers out there. So all that kind of stuff gives you a little bit of confidence. And you just keep trying. Finding a way, like you say, don't give up, find your way. Each person has a way to learn and achieve their goals. Just feel comfortable at that. Now, places to learn. Well, the first, I don't remember what was the first one, but for certain, the one that I used the most in the first years of the learning process was MDN. There was a quite well structured. I mean, I went through the CSS, HTML, and JavaScript handbook, guides, stuff. I think something nice about those guys and compared to another ones is that they really care for accessibility, for example. They really care about using the things right, using the proper elements, not just fill everything with deep containers or span containers. They were really emphasizing about making things in a proper way. And that because I learned in a very early stage of my career, that stick with me, and I'm still doing it in the job. I'm like always trying to emphasize on whatever I develop or whatever I review, I dedicate more time to check all those kind of stuff. Accessibility, one of them. So MDN, I still do it, use it a lot, especially for checking APIs, if I'm doing it, writing it right. If it's one argument or two arguments, the number of stuff that this requires. Another one that I recommend, and I think it's not that popular, a little bit of a pity, is JavaScript Info, JavaScript.info. It's for JavaScript only. It's quite well structured, and I like it a lot. I don't use it that much nowadays, but for learning, it's very good. And well, in general, just any search engine, whatever doubts you have, whatever problem you have, you search there, just keep an eye on the dates. And whatever they recommend, if it up to date, the browser compatibility, the version, if maybe you can use a better API or a different CSS rule thingish, whatever. So just keep an eye on the dates. This thing changes quite often.
So I know JavaScript.info has been mentioned by a couple of folks actually. So it's interesting that there isn't more focus on that. I hadn't looked at it. I kind of knew about it, but I haven't really looked at it. And having so many people mention it, I did have a look at it. And it is really good. It is really, really good. I would definitely encourage a lot of people to, you know, check it out, especially if you're early on still learning. I think it's a good resource. So I think you've highlighted some of the resources that, again, like I mentioned, I've heard a lot of other people mention. And I think MDN is the guidebook for the web. That is the intent. It's what it's meant for. It's why it's around. It's why it's so popular. But I do think that I've learned, and I want to hear your side of this, and I don't want to talk about it too much from my side, but I've heard a lot of feedback regarding gaps with the learning experience. So without leading you down a specific road. I'm just going to kind of put it at that. What struggles have you had when you learn? Like, yeah, there's these great resources out there like MDN and JavaScript Info, but what are the challenges that you faced when learning?
So divided by parts in my career is starting, it was like finding the resources that I need to learn. That wasn't that difficult. I think the first struggle was like what to do after, because you get like these basics, and then you get yourself with a lot of frameworks and like which one I'm going to learn. Am I going to learn? Because I really considered that time. I didn't know how many were out there. And I was like, I'm going to learn all of them. And then like later on you find out, and every year or even short at a time, one pops out. So no, you are not going to. You need to focus on something and work on that. And later on you can improve or learn something else, but you need to make your choices. There is a lot of places, either YouTube, either communities, either even companies that provide this kind of learning paths, but you need to pay a little bit. There's a lot of demand at the moment, a lot of products and business out there doing this, right, because of the demand problem. But what I see on all of them is that they try to make you like learn either a frame or something super fast, but they are lacking the professional experience, like the real practice. I mean, you end up being able to replicate, like, for example, like an example, a project example, either a website or either an app. You can replicate, you do it exactly the same as it was done there, but you don't have initiative. You don't either, well, not all the times it's about creating something from scratch. Most of the time it's about giving maintenance to something that has already been done. And that's rarely touched. You don't see that much of a stuff. So it would be nice to take these people. I mean, I'm in love with open source stuff, with open source projects. There is a lot of them, and it's getting more and more popular out there. Just take these people that are coming out of any learning process and help them out to contribute, to get experience there. Both are going to be a win-win. The people that are behind the project are going to either improve their documentation, for example, to facilitate the contribution, or even better, maybe a merge request, something fixed, maybe even a future, who knows? Also, they will be able to see the people that are coming out from this learning process and consider them, have them consideration about picking up some of them to a future opportunity. And also, all of us gets to learn how it is to work in a team, and how it is to work not just in a team, also in real case scenario, fixing stuff, giving maintenance. So that's the initial stuff. Then it comes ghosting with the interviews. I don't see the solution there. The only thing, there was a case that is still in my mind, and I think it's quite a bad practice. There was a company that wanted to help, or maybe have a little bit of popularity, want to help the beginners out there. So this company made a post and a social network, and I said like, hey, we have a vacancy, we have an opportunity. I think it was only one for early development, like people with zero experience. No, the post got super popular. And the thing is that I apply, and a lot of people apply also. Later on, I got to know that, if I remember correctly, they say that they had over 1,000 applicants. So they were struggling a lot to process all of them. So it just not made difficult for them, but also for us, because it was complete ghosting. Like, you didn't get any information. You got the interviews. They went through the interviews of many people, of hundreds of people. Interviews of hundreds, that's so difficult. It was super fast. They told me, like, we are interviewing these hundred of people. And they were like, oh my God. 5-10 minutes, very fast. And obviously they are going to forget about you. I don't know how they ended up with the selection. This is one of them. I think not us candidates should focus on the company that want to work, but also the the companies that are trying to select the people, they also should that put a little bit more of dedication. Difficult, I know, but just give a little bit of feedback. In the case of us in AdBlock Plus, I have also been nowadays with interaction with some hiring process, and I have noticed that like a candidate's request feedback, but they want to learn about that. It's not just getting the job. It's, I want something out of this. And we try to push for that. We provide like, hey, we like this from you, and we think that you can improve this other thing. So that's the second thing that I struggled, which was ghosting and being able to learn, walk on while being blind on the path. Then it comes a lot of stuff. And then it comes the first months in the job. I think it's something that is good to know, because most of us will struggle with that, and most of us won't be able. Unfortunately, I have seen cases where after all this hard work and stress, they get their jobs and they find out that the job is even more stressful than anything else. And they either quit or they are not able to keep the job after weeks or maybe months. And that's a little bit disappointing, because that's going to break a lot of people out there. And it's quite bad. So that's something that you need to be preparing is the imposter syndrome, which is quite mentioned out there, and it's that you will feel like you are there just by luck, that they made a mistake choosing you, And I still also feel it. You get used to it. It's just, in my case, it's like, if I feel that, it's because I still have something to learn, and that's exciting. So I went through that the first 6 months, like, and the fear, like, they are going to fire me. Like, and they will notice that I'm not the person that they were looking for. Instead of being able to focus to do your job, instead of being able to focus to learn from the other people, you were focused to not get fired. And I'm telling you, my team was amazing. They were like, all the time, like, we are not expecting you to work this fast. We are not expecting only for you to learn from the team. They clearly say, take your time. That was amazing. Yeah, but still in me, like, no, I need to still finish stuff. And maybe they say that because they wanted to be kind, but yeah. And how did I overcome that? Well, like you said, just not give up, just be persistent, just try to add. Well, now what I feel is like, all the people there have a lot of knowledge. Try to interact with them. The nice thing about this career and in general development is that most of the people are very, very kind. Most of the people want to teach others, and they are willing to explain, dedicate the time, like to explain how things work. So just go there, ask for help, get feedback from everyone. And when you have the opportunity to share stuff, express it. If the people, even if what you say is redundant with something else, or it doesn't make sense, express it, because it will help you out to improve in communication with something else that you need to learn. So maybe being able to communicate with the team. Here, two things could happen. In my company, it's like they were like super nice hearing me out. That's nice. And it could be that other people in other companies, they won't be that nice. And if that's the case, then maybe it's not the place for you. I struggle, and I think that was the thing that hit the most, because it stayed there for a long time. I think 1 year and a half, 2 years, like super stressed because of that. Then after time, you get to know like, okay, first ideal to my money, like I love this job. The company is being that nice to me, but jobs are not forever. So you need to start focusing in things that will be more persistent in your lifetime, giving more priorities in your life. That is when the things get a little bit relaxed, and I'm still worried sometimes, but you get to relax. You have your times for relax. And nowadays, what I focus the most, or one of the challenges is that I want to be more productive. I feel like, and I am slower than most of my peers or my developers. And we just had a discussion that about what could be the reasons of that. It's not like they requested for me, like you are slow. They didn't say that, but I felt that. And it's all about how you focus on stuff. It's all about how you prioritize things. Sometimes you go too deep on something and you need to go a little bit wide. You need to have this kind of, later on I got to learn that you need to have this kind of time budget, that you don't have time for everything. If you had it initially for, you don't have time to learn everything from all the frameworks, now you don't have time for being able to go that deep into the code base on into an issue. Maybe you want, I mean, the best solution, but considering the time. So yes, all these kind of things you get to learn. And right now I'm working on that. I have felt improvement of the last weeks, but still I think there is a margin to learn, things to learn from that.
Yeah, that's a tricky one. It's something I still struggle with. Like, I have tried so many tools and methodologies and stuff like that. This week, for example, the one I've heard about before and I haven't implemented it, which is the key part of it, like just reading about a productivity method doesn't make it happen. You actually have to implement it for it to work. So I've heard about the Eisenhower method, which is something I'm curious about explaining. And then I learned about this new one called the Moscow method. It spells Moscow, but it's actually an acronym. It's basically, what does it stand for? Let me see if I can see. Derived from the later of each. So M is must have, S is should have, C is could have, and W is won't have. And then if you make it into an acronym, it's Moscow. So it's very similar to the Eisenhower technique, but I guess it has subtle differences. So I'm kind of reading about that one as well. I've tried different tools to try and like give myself artificial deadlines and stuff like this, because I feel if I don't have a deadline, I'm always going to like just keep procrastinating on the thing. I'm going to keep diving into that deeper and deeper into the rabbit hole. And so I'm going to overthink stuff. Like, I'll look at a single element and like, is this really the right element? And like, while that's important, sometimes you have to like say, you know, it's good enough for now. Let's move on. We can put a little to-do note in there and we can come back and revisit it. So yeah, I totally get that. And I agree. So we're kind of running out of time, and there's two or three things I'd like to touch on. The one, say as much as you can or want to about this, but you mentioned earlier on that being from Mexico, you were targeting US and European countries, but you found it almost impossible. I think there's a lot of people in developing countries that faces the same problem, where in their own country, jobs are very scarce. So they do want to reach out to the bigger global market. But especially when you're new, how do you even do that? Can you like just dive into that a little bit? Like, what were the challenges that you were facing? And do you have any like ideas of what we can do? Is this a community thing that can help here? Can open source help here?
Yeah, same goes with open source. I think, well, first I noticed that with USA was going to be a little bit more difficult. I got, I think, one interview only. It was quite informal. It was usually the smaller the company, the more opportunities they give. Because the bigger they get, the more they need to follow like this kind of standards to not overcomplicate themselves with special cases of people outside of their countries. So I noticed that. So yeah, there was a couple of opportunities in USA, but it was like a company that was going just to start. And then I still didn't get those. What I noticed is that Europe in general give more opportunity to people from outside of the area, at least Mexico. I'm not certain of all the regions. I'm not certain about India, for example. I'm not certain about some African countries. I'm not certain about that. But at least from Mexico, I got to see that they were quite open to that. So it looks like they are not that strict with this process about this kind of payment. There is the freelance opportunity. You're part of a company. You don't have all the benefits in a way of people that is on site, like, for example, health insurance, all that kind of stuff. But they can still hire you like as a freelancer. And there's plenty of methods out there for payment. So it's about most about the policies that they follow. And yeah, in Europe, I found more opportunities and I got most of the interviews from there. And well, my company is from Germany. So yeah, it matches all what I saw before. And well, open source, it's like if you see that a company has plenty of projects that are out there. It means that they are open to, or they are there will be more flexibility for people from outside of their company to get enrolled into the processes. They will be, again, they will be more open maybe to hire someone, maybe to share some stuff. They care for another, maybe for results, for the user experience, for the products, but not instead for like only these people get to know about the process of the company. So it's working on the open. If you search for a company that works in the open, that will give you more opportunities for you to get hired. Personal experience.
Yeah, that's good to learn. Yeah, it's interesting that Europe is more open. Cool. So two things I want to touch on. I had a look at your GitHub, and you've got quite a lot of stuff going on there, but there were two projects that kind of jumped out at me. But I don't know if you want to quickly touch on them. I didn't look into them in detail, so I don't know how active you are still with these, but they just sounded interesting. The one is called Meteor Lab, and the other one is called Fail Coding Exercises.
Well, the Fail Coding Exercises, I don't remember. I'm first of all, I'm not active on Git4, unfortunately. That's something that as I'm struggling, that I'm trying to find the time for my side projects. There is a lot of side projects accumulated in the list. You mentioned before about the improvement stuff, about how we can get more productive. We have this stuff as developers is that, okay, we are thinking of how to be to improve on something, and we are already thinking about implementing something. Like, oh, I can create this application. And we are tempted to create this stuff, even if it's out there already. So there is a big list of to do. So now that GitHub, I'm trying to find a way to have time for me, not only the company stuff. And little by little, I'm getting better to that, but I still haven't reached the time to dedicate for my side project. So the failing exercise, I don't even remember what it was. Another thing is GitHub is not the repo where I work most nowadays. We work in GitLab. So we have moved to GitLab, and I don't have mirrors, unfortunately, for my projects. So Meteor Leaf was about a project for Chingo. Was one of the projects that we did there. It was React, TypeScript, and Redux. And I listed in the CV, but at the end, I think the open source contributions to Mozilla was what interests the most to recruiters, because it's this team working stuff. But Chingo Interaction also helped. They asked me about that. There was another one, TabFX, which was an extension that I did a request from one of the interaction with MDN administrators, developers. We have the chat, and the person say, hey, it would be nice if we have this extension. And I was like, I can do that. And I said myself, like, in 1 week, let's do this. And I was able to do it. The person used it, and I improve it. I dedicate probably 3 months, 4 months of maintenance. I got only like 50 people using it. The most nowadays is 30. Then I got the job, and I wasn't able to keep working on that.
Interesting. Yeah, no, it's hard. And I think we shouldn't break our backs to try and do side projects. But I think if it's an outlet for your own creativity, then it's great. But I don't think if you're already busy enough with work and you get all the satisfaction and you get to explore new technologies, some new things as part of your day job, then, I mean, you don't have to give yourself to do side projects. Thanks so much again, folks, for joining. I think this is a great conversation. There's a lot of insights that you've shared that I really think is going to help a lot of people. So just in closing, is there anything you'd like to mention, any last words, any advice that you'd like to give to early stage web developers? And how can people find you on the internet?
Yeah, Twitter, LinkedIn. I think nowadays I'm more active in LinkedIn, but yeah, Twitter also. I think you will share it in the notes, my handlers. Just for the companies and the teams out there, is like just, it's, I know that it's difficult to get developers. There is a lot of demands and not that many with the skills that they want. But you need to dedicate a little bit of time to create this kind of opportunities for early stage developers to interact with them and get to see the skills that you don't get in I don't know, half an hour, 1 hour interview. It's impossible to get them. Most of the people like me are nervous half of the time in that interview. It doesn't need to. I mean, I highly recommend open source projects and give them this space for them to interact. But it doesn't need to be them. They can be like workshops also. They can be like hackathons, open hackathons where they can go there and it's mostly, I think, 2 weeks, 3 weeks that they can take from their normal workflow. And I think they will find plenty of people that it may end up becoming part of their developers right away, or maybe in 1-2 years, they can keep an eye on them and see their role and hire them later. So yeah, have this space.
Yeah, that's good advice. That's good advice. Thank you so much for joining me, Adelson. This was a great, great chat. I hope we can catch up again later on when the podcast has even more episodes and you've even grown further in your career and have even more insightful information to share with the community. So thank you so much for taking time to speak with me. I really appreciate it.
Thank you for listening to this episode of the Mycenae Network podcast. If you're not already, please subscribe, store, and leave a review for us in your podcatcher of choice. This helps others find us and helps us make a better podcast for you, our listeners. You can also find and follow us on Twitter at @NetworkMycenae and join the community on Discord. All the links are available in the show notes.